You know, Baba's silence, that silence was a constant help, you see, to Baba during his ministry. Because Baba could be very free in his expressions with his people who were around him. Because people who were around him knew his gestures, whereas the rest of the people who surrounded him, in say in the public streets or on station platforms or at the shrines or in big fairs, you see, where he was lost in the crowd, you see, and so forth. So one day it so happened that his silence became so telling to the crowd who were around him. So the story is based on that. After long, long travel, Baba wanted to contact a certain master in a very small town, a township. It was not even a town. You may call it a little bigger than a village, you see. And being a place which was not large enough to have a big station or anything, it was just a sort of a flag station, as we call it. I don't know whether you have such flag stations in the States, where the train stops at the whim and will of the guard or the station master when they put a red flag, you see, when there are passengers or parcels to be carried from the station. Otherwise the train just moves on without stopping. So there are flag stations. Now it so happened that we got down, because of the must there, we had to get down. We had to intimate the guard saying that we want to get down at the station. So we got down at the station and with all our luggage and Baba in our midst, we selected a portion of the platform there, at a remote corner, and we made our abode there, so to say, for the night. It was evening time, so we were there. No sooner we got down, we made inquiries whether the must was there or not. So he being a very famous person, we were told that he had gone to some other village. He was not there in the village. So we waited there patiently. That place is also famous for a shrine of a saint. So, and people used to get down at that place, passengers would get down at the place to pay their homage and then return by the next train. So these people who were there on the platform, when we came to know that the must was outside, had gone out, we waited there for the must to return and then go and contact him. So what we did during that time was to sit on our own luggage, you see. There was no bench or anything there, that flag station, nothing was there. So we just kept seated there, Baba in our midst, and we were seated. And naturally, when we are by ourselves, we start a conversation. And people could find out from Baba's gestures that Baba was unable to speak. So these people who were, two or three people who were just loitering there and gazing and watching at the show there, that is us, they came to know that Baba couldn't speak, was not speaking. That means was not speaking. He was observing. They didn't know that he was observing silence or anything of the sort. So, well, seeing them, six more people surrounded us. Seeing six more, there were others surrounding us. And one or two even dared to say to us, you see, come to close to me and say that, look here, now is the time that you should go, otherwise the shrine shuts, you see. Now is a very good time, good hour, you go there. And we are sure, you see, that whatever you ask, you will be given, you see. The boon will be there. He's so great. I said, what are you talking about? What do you want me to do? Where? Go where? He says, don't you know that? We know why you have come. Don't try to hide from us. We know. What a handsome personality. Such a flower in this creation. They started now admiring Baba's beauty and says, but in spite of it all, Baba has not been, this man is not blessed with speech. And we are sure, you see, that if you were to go and ask, you see, his speech will be restored. But we said that, but we don't want to go. He says, don't hesitate. In this spiritual, it's not a begging. There's nothing shameful about it. Why don't you go and ask, you see? And you'll get, I'm sure you'll get the speech. He can't speak. It's your duty to go and plead, you see, to give him speech. So the crowd then pressed us and forced us to go, you see. We didn't want to go. But then, naturally, we knew when Baba kept quiet and he enjoyed the whole thing. And we had to face this pigeon, you see, this man and that woman and another old man comes and another man comes pressing us to go and go and go. We said, we can't, when we go out for such things, it's taken as an insult if we don't go to a shrine and pay our respects there. They don't like the idea. So we had to accept the fact that, all right, we'll go there. Knowing fully well why we would want to go, we just would go there to pay our respects, that's all. So we took Baba with us and all that. He says, look here, don't forget, go and ask. There's no shame in asking for anything, and we are sure you'll get the boon, you see. So we went there just to pacify the crowd, you see, and just paid our respects there and came out. But there were people who were much worried about Baba's speech, you see. They wanted Baba to speak. Baba being so handsome, he has been blessed with all the great qualities, you see, and just one little thing is missing, and that is speech. So that's how we were pestered that day by the crowd to go there and ask for a boon that Baba's speech be restored. Well, life with Baba, you see, is not a bed of roses. We also had to encounter many thorns, you see. Thorns, big thorns, small thorns, you see. And then, but that didn't matter in the least. Our life with Baba was so engrossed with our life with Baba that we had no time, you see, to feel that we were treading on thorns or that we were treading on rose petals. But sometimes, very rare occasions, when our bodies did feel the stress and strain of that continuous life of exertion with Baba. We didn't know from where did Baba derive his energy. He being the master of energy himself, or energy personified, well, he could cope up with all that. But our bodies couldn't cope up. We were very strong people around him. And in spite of our strength and stamina, sometimes, rarely, we did feel the strain. We told Baba also about it. Baba would give us time to rest, but that would all the more, you see, be harmful to our body, because rest was not sufficient for us. It was not something which would just revive our energies. It would be very short-lived, and that would be something very annoying to the body as well as to the mind, you see. So in the long run, we found that such short rest periods were, on the contrary, detrimental to our health rather than giving us relaxation and reviving our energy. He would ask us to go to sleep, you see, for an hour or so in the afternoon, after many, many days or weeks of travel. But then, being Baba by our side in his presence, you see, because the body would be tired, no sooner we just lie down, we begin to snore loudly, completely forgetting Baba's presence or anything of the sort. But then Baba would wake us up within half an hour or three quarters of an hour, and that would be terrible, you see, to our body. It's a great disturbance. And I don't know whether you all have felt it or not, but this is a fact that body recoils, you see. You know, it's like, Have you seen an engine stalling, you see, car, and shaking the whole car, you see? Something happens, you see. The engine wants the car to move. It would be easy on the engine, you see, if the car is in motion. But when the car is stopped, you see, and there is a stalling, you see, and the car starts rattling, so to say, and jerking like that. So likewise, when the body is absolutely tired, and some opportunity is given to rest, and it takes rest, but during the course of its resting, if somebody disturbs the rest, then such a thing happens to the body. Actually, you feel the vibrations within the body, you see. You feel the body shaking like that, you see, all the time. Not tremors, not that type, but there is something within, you see, the engine within, somehow or other, you see, creates such a situation there. And it's very harmful to the body. So it was thought best that we shouldn't take rest. So we never thought of taking rest in the afternoon, no siesta or anything of the sort. It's impossible. It used to spoil the whole day, you see. So, well, we continued our life like that with Baba. In the nights we used to get some rest. But at nights also we used to do some work. We had to keep watch near Baba, you see. There were shifts, 3-hour shifts, depending upon the person, sometimes 4-hour shifts. If there are a good number of persons, then 2-hour shifts were there too. So that was something. We could have some time
to sleep then.
But for me, it so happened that I would be the last person to leave Baba, because I had to see to Baba till the last moment, you see, when he himself would tell me to go and retire. So I will have to be the last to leave Baba. In the meantime, Mandaliye could get more hours of rest and relaxation. And I had to be the first person to contact Baba in the morning, early hours of the morning. Why? Because I had to see, I had to wake him up, so to say. And from that moment, I had to continue to be with him till the last moment when he asked me to retire in the night. So it was too much of a strain on my body after some years of service to him. So well, the body of course couldn't stand that for some time, and then the mind started playing its own trick. And sometimes the mind would prompt me, what the hell am I doing over here? See, why should I do all this here? First of all, I used to take pride, you see, in trying to serve him. And then, till the end, of course, I used to take pride. But then there were periods when the mind would sometimes play havoc, you see, and says, of what use? You're wasting this energy and strength and stamina. What use would it be? But that, with Baba's grace and his help, you see, inward help, I could overcome all these things, you see. I didn't care for it. Just passing flashes would come like that. Nothing more. But I remember on one occasion I was caught and my mind overpowered me. And that was the first and the last occasion. And I think I had told you once before. And that I was fed up, you see, because no sooner I used to complete one chore, Baba would be ready with another one. Anything, whether I had travelled hundreds of miles or whether I travelled 10 miles, there would be something ready no sooner I used to meet Baba and see him, whatever it be. I didn't mind all that. But one day my mind said, of what use my returning, you see, to Baba after finishing a work that he had given. So I slept. With a purpose I slept, determined not to go back, because going back meant nothing. More work, you see, and more work, and more work, and there's no end to this work, you see. And as if all this was not proper and good, you see, what I still remember, that there was no bed, nothing of the sort, you see. So I remember a place called Jabalpur, you see. Lot of mosquitoes there. No mosquito nets or anything of the sort, you see. We had to just be where we were so tired, the bodies were so tired that no sooner we go, we lie relaxed on the ground, finish, we are gone. We are no more on this earth, so to say. But I remember one thing, to top it all, this Muhammad was once with us, you see. And he would choose, you see, to sit right there where I would want to go to sleep, you see. And if I were to change my place, he would come back and sit there, you see. And he would continue to sit there, by my side there, you see. And then he would murmur and murmur. I didn't know. I didn't, because I was oblivious to all these things. I used to go to sleep, no doubt about it. Then you would wonder as to who would wake me up. It's the person who was on the night watch, naturally. The man who sits there. So therefore, we had nothing to fear on that score. But one day, I went purposely to sleep, you see. Right on the street, on the road, highway. There was a culvert there and I went to sleep. I said, it's no use my going back to Baba. If I were to go back to Baba, what would happen? He would give me more work. And I went to sleep. So then when I returned home, Baba questioned me as to why was I late. So I said, well, Baba, this work was this and then this and that. And he actually counted the hours that I took, you see, and all that. And then he made me vomit out what I felt, you see. And I said, this was the thing. So he just pinched my ear and twisted it and said, never again should I ever harbor such feelings or thoughts, and never I should do such a thing. And I think that was the last. But then I quite often had to speak out to Baba that body was getting very tired, especially just before the accident. I told Baba about it. You know, the last accident, that I was so tired that I had to one day, I remember that 15 days prior to the accident, I told Baba about it in Satara, that I am now getting so tired, this body is getting so tired, that it's impossible to drive the car now safely. I did say these words, you see. I says, why do you worry about it? It's not for you to think over this. I said, but Baba, I remember, Baba, I have the responsibility. I feel that your body is traveling with my body, you see, so I must be very careful about it. And I plead and I beg of you now to just relieve me of this duty. But Baba says, well, nothing, you continue with it. So I had to do it. But I had that premonition within me. And it was a fact. It was a fact. But that day when the accident took place, I was feeling as fresh as anything. There was no fatigue or nothing of the sort. Nothing of the sort. Because that was a day of great relaxation. And when I was preoccupied and everything there, and the journey was safe, and when the day was nothing of but to relax, Baba went from Satara to Pune to see a cricket match. And from there we returned home, that's all. There was no work, nothing to do with must hunting or poor hunting or do this or do that, nothing, complete relaxation. But in the midst of all this, naturally, with intense activity, there was no accident. But when I relaxed, there was this accident. That's how I met with that accident in Satara.
Well, what happened?
What happened, God?
In the accident, I mean, you were driving, I mean...
So, there was nothing happened. Nobody to this day knows about it, what happened, you see. And the judgment that has been given by the court is, it's the hand of God. Yeah. Nobody knows, because we were all involved in the accident. I fainted, and Baba, of course, was there. The first thing that I found out when I got out of my unconscious state, I was thrown out of the car, you see. So I my hand was on one, left hand was on the steering. I must have slid out, so to say, out of the car, front door. And when I got up, I just saw Baba, who was by my side, sitting there. He was seated there. And the first thing that I saw was that he showed me his tongue. And it was bleeding. Then I came to realize what had happened. What's this, Baba? I asked, on the contrary, I asked him. I said, what is it? What has happened, Baba? He showed me this tongue. I said, it's bleeding, Baba. Where did you get the cut from? I completely lost that it was an accident. I had no memory at all. So then Baba says, paining. This is also paining. Then I got up immediately, you see. And then I took charge of the whole situation. And then I went on the roadside there. and then stopped the car that was coming, and made Baba said, Vishnu was the least hurt who had seen all this, but he has also no memories, he says. He died, of course, but not in the accident, but after many years. But when we asked him, I said, Vishnu, you were all alive, you see. Nothing happened to you. You were seeing. He says, I tell you honestly, I don't know what has happened. We were chatting, talking, everything was there. We were going so slow. We just a pleasant ride. Baba tells me that we have to go slow because there's no hurry to go. So we are going. Otherwise, Baba sometimes used to ask me to speed, you see, like anything. Nothing happened during those days. And this just, we don't know what happened. Don't know. And the car turned in the direction of Pune instead of Satara when I saw it. We don't know. Nothing happened. Nothing had happened to anything. There was no oil. People thought that there must have been oil and the car must have skidded. But if it skidded, the memory must be there, isn't it, that it skidded? Suppose if I lose the memory, what has happened to Vishnu? Yeah. Pendu was thrown out. Nilu was thrown. Dr. Nilkan was thrown out. Myself thrown out. Baba was in the car. And Vishnu was in the car. Nobody knew that. I did not know that I was hurt too, you see, severely. But I had to take the whole situation in my hand to see that Baba went back home safe.
What must be
Baba's pain? Because I didn't realize what had happened to Baba. You see, that Baba had busted his hip joint, I never realized that. Nobody realized anything. I didn't even realize that Nilu is dead, or that Pendu's pelvis is cracked or anything. Nothing of the sort. That I had cracked my some five ribs. And all bruises inside and all that, nothing happened. Nothing was there. Everything was all right, we thought. And then I stopped the car. Baba walked, you see, taking support of my shoulder. I got him out of the culvert, you see, and then to the highway again, from the car, with all that broken hip, mind you. How he must have walked, I don't know. And then made him sit inside the car, and the car was over full. I begged of the passengers to just make room for Vishnu to sit. So Baba was made to sit in the front. How he must have been pressed, you see, on the wound there, I don't know. With all that, Baba went there, back to the place where the women lived, Baba's room there. And Vishnu took the family, the car, the owner of the car, to the place there. The women were surprised. I don't know what has happened there. And here, all the Baba's car and the belongings are there, so I stopped another truck that was going in the opposite direction. I said, take us back to Satara. We have met with an accident. So I helped, the driver helped me to lift the bodies of Pendu and Nilu. I just took out the seat, rear seat, you see, made pillows for them and put the bodies in the truck like that. And then I went down and jumped and up and again and brought all the luggage and put there and all that and locked the car and everything was there and locked the dickey and all, everything safe. Baba's hat was there and Baba's scarf and everything I collected, you see. And I jumped inside the car and on the truck there. And then I don't know, I just black out. Then I find myself in the hospital.
Would you faint?
Yes, I must have fainted again.
Pendu was unconscious at this time, wasn't he?
Pendu and Nilu, both are unconscious. Then I came to know that Nilu was dead already. The liver had busted, you see. He was thrown out. Nilu was the one, you see, who told Baba that he would like to see Chavanlai in Pune. We just remained. He went out of the car and he did go out of the orbit. You know, Chavanlai was visiting. We went to Pune that day. It was a terrible thing. We didn't know why Baba wanted us to fast that day. Baba told us to keep quiet over the things. He said, don't allow anybody to know. I want you all to fast that day and not to smoke, not even to drink water. And see that you don't allow this little information to leak out to women or to the mandali. So we kept the information to ourselves. We didn't take water, we didn't take tea in the morning, we didn't smoke or anything of the sort. And we started. And he says, this will last for 24 hours and don't take it. So I said, oh, he said, all right, what's there in that? We have been doing this for so many times. That day it so happened that naturally when we were in Pune, before the match started, while we entered Pune. No, I'm sorry. After the match had ended and all that, and Baba returned, you see. So, on route, the traffic was just put to a halt. Why? Because Chavan Lai was to visit the National Defense Academy, you see, there. In Pune, that's the big National Defense Academy there. And he was taken, you see, there for inspection or something like that. Those were the days when India and China were bhai-bhai, brother-brother. Yeah. The stab in the back was not there, you see, at the time. But it happened soon after this. Just his return there and it happened. So, we stopped our car, Baba was in the car, and all of us, who cared for anybody, you see, going there, any dignitary, who cared when Baba was with us? But Dr. Neelu gets a whim, you see, says, Baba, I would like to go down, you see, and see Chavan Lai. Baba says, what is there in his face? What's there in that? He says, no, I want to go and see him. He says, all right, go and see him. So he was the only person who went out. And then he came back and we started. The traffic was resumed. And then we left the place, you see, for Satara. We left Pune city for Satara. We could go further. And then just few miles away from Satara, you see, we met with the accident. The place where we had played cricket match with Baba. Just there, a place called Ud Tara.
When the car was in the culvert, you had to lift Pendu and Neelu.
Yes.
Out. I mean, did the driver help you, or how did you manage this with broken ribs and everything?
That's what I am wondering myself. You see, how must I have managed all this? You see, from where did I get all that strength to lift the bodies up the truck there? You know, truck,
you
how high?
You did it by yourself.
No, with the help of the driver. Yeah, but I was the one who. Why would any stranger help me like that? But he had to give me a helping hand, so to say. But from where did I get the strength to lift such huge bodies, you see, and put them there? I was strong, no doubt about it at the time. But that doesn't mean that I was strong enough after the accident to lift the bodies. Like that. And in the midst of all this, naturally the doctor wanted to have us some tablets or pills, you see. So we didn't take, because we couldn't take it. So in the midst of all this, Baba remembers this and sends a message to us that now everything is over, you can start taking water or anything or eat anything that is given. It was in the late evening, said about 8 o'clock.
When did you see the other one, Mandali and Baba again? Did you see Baba again for some days or what?
No, we were separated then. I think I must have seen him. I was given discharge after 20-30, over a month.
A month you didn't see Baba?
No, Baba was taken care of by Dr. Donkin and Dr. Gaver and other doctors, you see. And we were, myself and Pendu were in Satara Hospital, which is no good. Even the pups are kept in better rooms, you see, when they're treated there. It's a rural hospital, dirty as anything, you see, and horrible, horrible place. And my uncle and my father and all wanted me to be removed to Pune, you see, for treatment. They brought the ambulance and everything, removed me and Pendu to Pune, but that doctor didn't want us to be removed. He says, it's on your own responsibility. The case is serious. While they'll travel, they'll go collapse. Because I think I must have exerted a lot. Yeah. Because that's why. So I was put in my body. I remember my body was being shoved inside the ambulance and the doctor came at the spot, in charge. He says, it's on your own responsibility. You take the bodies from here. So we were again thrown back in the same hovel there. Another thing that Baba told me, don't go to Pune. You know, while I was taking Baba to that car from that site of accident, he told me to bring all, that we should all go back to Satara and not to Pune. So that was the direction that Baba gave me last. It was considered to be a day of eclipse that day, you see. And Indians are so superstitious, you see, they never travel on that day. The eclipse of the sun. And Merji had come, you see, with us that day from Satara. Merji stayed overnight with us. So when we started in the morning to pick up Baba from another place, I got the car out of the gate, and no sooner I got the car out of the gate, outside the gate, we met a Parsi priest, you see, crossing us. So what Meherji says, oh, hell with him, you see. You know, Eraj, what's the sign? This means sure death, you see. I said, of what? Whose? He says, it's a bad sign. To see a Parsi priest crossing us, I said, it's a sign. Parsi priest means what? So auspicious, you see. You are yourself a priest. So that's why I say, you see, it's a sign of sure death. And we laughed, and it was just taken in good humor and all that. But we did return with a dead body that day. Meherji was dropped in Pune, and his place was taken by Vishnu, who was in Pune. You follow?
Wasn't there a great difference in Baba's health before and after the accident, in terms of his activities?
Of course. Definitely. After the 1956 accident, you see, activities were much curbed. Physical activities, he's going about and moving about. But apart from all this, we had thought that from the reports that we received from Dr. Watson Jones, you see, he was considered to be a world famous orthopedic surgeon. You know, the reports that we received from him, that this man will never be able to walk again. When the x-rays were shown to him, you see, he just threw the x-rays on the table. He says, this is a case which is irreparable, nothing can be done. And we were very much dismayed to hear this, and especially it affected me a lot, because I considered myself to be the one, the culprit, so to say, the instrument, whatever you call it. So for many, many years I was much affected. I was all the time with Baba. So mentally I was much affected. And since then my health also deteriorated. Also, I am not what I was or I used to be, apart from age or anything like that. That spirit and everything is all gone. So, but then Baba always comforted us with the words that, and he just scoffed and laughed at the, what they call the prognosis given by these specialists, the world specialists. And it did so happen. One day he was sitting at Guru Prasad in his chair. And all of a sudden, he got up and started walking. That's all. That's the only miracle that we have seen with his body. Yeah. And he walked and he walked and he walked and walked. And not only did he walk, but he climbed the staircases too, to pay for the house visits, you see, to pay visits to his lovers' homes. There is a picture where we are holding an umbrella over his head, and Baba is slogging his way up the staircase, a very steep staircase in Pune. You know Milan studio photograph?
Is it an outside staircase?
Yes, outside. Why? Yeah, yeah. Seen that? That's after the accident. That's the Milan studio, he goes to that. that busted hip joint, and where Dr. Watson Jones just threw the thing, he says, it's impossible for a man to walk in his lifetime now. What do you call this? You see, these spasms that the leg would get, you see. It would be like, have you seen fish out of water, how it just does that? So the spasms would go like that, you see, and just lift the whole leg up. The strain on the nerves, you see, and the ligaments would be such terrible. Nights after nights, we would just hold Baba's leg, you see, like this, and keep it down. Especially it would happen after exertion, when you'd give darshan and sit there for hours together, you see, and then exert himself, walk about, move about. Then we had to hold him, his leg, for hours on end in the night, you see. Just hold on, keep it like that.
How many years did that go on, that holding?
I don't know. 58. Say 64 to 64. 65. 64-65. And the funny thing is that when he would be active, nothing would happen. When he would rest in bed, and the spasms would come. So naturally, we were there as night watch, or it would be night watch. So we just keep our hand on it, hold it like that. And we would feel, you see, there would be a terrible vibe, a wave running through the leg, you see. We could feel when we put the hand here, we could feel there's something running out, you see. Some, I don't know what you call it, electrical potential or something, I don't know what it is. And no sooner that would be there than there would be the spasm coming. You see. So at that time you'd press his leg harder. You see. That's all. But we were told, advised by the doctor, not to press it too hard also, because the hip joint might again, because it had become so amorphous, you see, the hip joint. So we had to be very careful, otherwise it would just be away out of the joint itself. You see. Whatever little joint that was artificially formed by Baba himself, you could see the picture through the x-rays, you see. It was an artificial joint that was formed there, you see. So, and what do you call the femur, you see, the head of the femur had become so amorphous that suppose if the leg wanted to jerk like this, it was all right. But if we pressed it and it gave a jerk, then this might crack, you know. So that was another difficulty for us, you see. We had to be very careful with all these things. Allow the tremors to pass by. It's like allowing the earthquake to pass by without cracking the building, you see. Somehow or other try to balance it some way. So we passed our days and nights like that sometimes with them. But in the midst of all activity,
Baba made no sound during all this.
No, nothing. Not even there when I became conscious, he just showed me. Or anything of the sort, nothing of the sort, you see. How would one feel with that busted hip joint to walk the distance, you see, from there to there and get into the car and all that? I just wondered later on what must be the pain there. And then Maharaji tells me, you see, these people rushed from Nagar and Pune and Bombay and all that, that Dr. Bansod came from Pune. And what he did was, he pulled Baba's leg, you see. He just put his, put his foot there between his loins and got the leg out, you see, of the joint. And even then, Baba didn't make any noise. No noise. It was a terrible thing that he must have passed that night. 2nd of December, 1956. That's a date to be remembered.
That's my birthday. I always remember that.
2nd of December.
Yeah.
The activities, but then she couldn't write pages after pages, but then she has given the gist, and that's the record that we have. apart from all that, there was no other thing that is to be, that is worth mentioning, except that daily affairs continued over here, the correspondence, if you go through the files, and Baba's messages or discourses that he has given, or that he has held the sahavasas, the programs that we had in his companionship. But then most of the time he remained in seclusion. Not that he was not active. He would go out, you see, he would come back. But he didn't see visitors, didn't allow the visitors to see him. Not the visitors, I should say. Visitors were allowed, but then the crowd, yeah. He stopped giving darshan, except in Pune. And 3 months in Pune, or sometimes 4 months in Pune, would be the active months for Baba during the summer time. So from March, from April 1st to July, he had been in Pune, seeing people and the crowds. When he would return here, he wouldn't encourage people to come here. He would want them to wait for the next year to see him there in Pune.
Summer of 68, fall of 68.
Yeah. Baba was active as before. It would be just the one more summer, you see. We never felt anything of the sort that he, that his health is shattered or anything of the sort. He would be totally immersed in his work to such a degree that when he would call us, you see, we found him absolutely weak and strained, as if, you know, the launderers, you see, what happens, you see, when you take the cloth out of the rollers, you see, dry cloth, piece of cloth, like that, he was just completely drained of all energy. Then we would go inside and dry his body, and it would be full of sweat and all that, and make him feel fresh a bit, and then bring him. And then he would join in the prayers, you see, the universal prayer, as I told you, that he would want to stand up, but he would be so drained that it would be very difficult for him to stand up and all that. In spite of it all, we never felt that his health was completely shattered, you see, in the summer months in Guru Prasad. He would sometimes see occasional visitors there, these close ones from the family, my family or other family Baba lovers there in Pune. Have a good time in the afternoon, sometimes he would be very lively at the time. And he would continue to prepare, you see, for the Westerners and the Easterners to meet him the next summer. And then we'd discuss the plans and other things. Then he would give us some hints and points regarding the second edition of God Speaks, the revised edition there. And he would go through the glossary. He went through every word of the glossary, you see, that is there. He gave us the proper meaning, the proper words for that. It's a beautiful thing that will help a lot, that glossary, to understand the book. And we used to pass the time like that, and sometimes play cards, and with the bogus news. After morning sessions were always for his seclusion work, and also an hour in the afternoon, first hour, say from 2 to 3, and 3 o'clock, 5:30, there will be just this relaxation. And I don't know what he did with his, we would hear that thump on the thigh, you see, every time he would beat his thighs with his fist, you see. This thump would be heard, you see, continuously during the time that he is there in seclusion. And it had turned his right thigh, so what do you call, was it the right or the left, I forget now. You don't remember that. You'll have to see that last sahavas or something that Hoshang Bharucha has written that book, you see. I think it was the right, yes. So the right thigh became so stiff, it was like a log of wood, you see. There was no elasticity left at all there. No elasticity. I remember one thing. Now this reminds me, you know, the last days of Baba. This Thai business brings me to the conversation that one of the specialists who had come from Pune with Dr. Grant. See, that there was a fall in the hemoglobins, you see, red corpuscles. So there was some transfusion also given. So what has happened is that he said, he remarked when he heard this, that sometime in the, he remembers to have read in the ancient literature that the rishis and munis used to do penance, you see, and it would hit their bodies, and the then doctors, you see, had said that that had some effect on the red blood corpuscles, you see, that destroyed them. So he correlated that, you see, I remember now. And he smiled, and Baba also had a good smile for it, you see. He says it has nothing to do with that, you see. What has he to do with doing any penance or anything? He has nothing to do penance for, nothing to do. This is, you won't be able to know what I am doing, Baba told him. And then, but in spite of it all, we had to take care, you see. We had to take care of his body. Just a few days prior to that, prior to his dropping the body, we could feel now that we are approaching the end of this ministry, so to say, this advent. I could feel, but these people, the others who were there, they didn't feel that way. But I could feel, I could sense it. In the morning he said that today was my crucifixion. He would invariably say this every now and then, that what a crucifixion, that Christ had his crucifixion, Jesus had his crucifixion on one particular day, but I am being crucified, you see, every moment. He would say that, in this advent. On the day that he dropped the body in the morning, he says, today is the day of my crucifixion. He said that. And then he, of course, felt his...